Test, test.
Right. Hey, guys. How are you? Are you good? Are you sure? Or are you just telling me because there's a bunch of people out there? Are you good? All right. Very cool. Hey, I want to read a little scripture for us. Then we're going to sing together, and then we're going to pray. All right? Cool. All right. Well, listen real careful. Everybody got their listening ears on? All right. Here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. Can you say that? Deuteronomy 6?
Deuteronomy 6.
1 through 12.
1 through 12.
All right, here we go. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised to you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Can you say that with me? The Lord is one.
The Lord is one.
Good. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. Can you say that with me? Do not forget the Lord.
Do not forget the Lord.
That's right. Good. Who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You know, when we were reading this, guys, I saw this one part that was so interesting. I want you to listen to this real carefully. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength, with all your soul. Do you think that God wants us to love him with all that we are or just a portion? Do you think God wants us to give him all of our life or just a little bit of our life? So do you think after we're done singing that we could pray that God would help us to give him every part of our life, the way we treat our parents, the way that we treat our brothers and sisters, the way that we help other people and say kind things to them so they can feel better when they're sad? Do you think we could pray that God would help us with that? Yeah? All right, well, good. Well, before we pray, I want us to sing together, and I'm going to set this microphone down so someone will come back to church next week because they don't want to hear me sing. All right? All right, so let's sing together. Here we go.
We're going to sing. Oh, how good. We already sang it, so you should know it, all right? Here we go. Ready? Everybody put your O up. Got to put your O up. Ready? Okay, here we go. You got to sing with me or it's going to sound really bad. You ready? All right, here we go. Oh, how good is Christ the Lord. On the cross he died for me. He has pardoned all my sin. Glory be to Jesus. Lift it up. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. In 3 days he rose again. Glory be to Jesus. Good job. All right, well, let's fold our hands and let's close our eyes, and we're going to pray that God would help us to love him with all of our heart, soul, and strength. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this time together at the table. Lord, I pray that you would help us to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. Lord, help us to love you in the way that we care for our mom and dad, in the way that we obey them. Help us to love you in the way that we say kind things and do kind things to our brothers and sisters. Help us to love you in the way that we encourage our friends. Lord, help us to love you in every part of our life. Lord, we want you to be the king of every part of our life. And we pray that you would help us to let you do that. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, you guys can have a seat. Thank you.
What up until about 10 years ago was a mystery to me. When I heard people talk about family worship time, it sounded awfully spiritual to me, awfully mysterious, like only those really super spiritual families do that kind of stuff. And I really couldn't imagine it. We had lots of good, what I would call family worship times growing up, but we never called it that. We usually called it dinner growing up in my house. And we had lots of conversations, and some of them revolved around God, and some of them didn't revolve around God at all. But I think that really family worship is just what you just saw. It's just simple. And I think if you try to make it more complex than that, particularly with younger kids, it won't go that well anyways. It'll end up devolving to simplicity, so why not just make it simple? And so I would encourage you, whether you have kids in the home or whether you don't have kids in the home, whether you live by yourself or whether you live with roommates, I would encourage you to have a family worship time. If you're a single person, join a family. Be involved with their family occasionally. Go have family worship time with them. I would encourage you to do that. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn them to Mark chapter 12. We're going to spend a little time talking not just about the family worship time in the home, but broadly about family ministry. I want to kind of define it. If we had a coat rack up here, what I want to do is I just want to hang two hangers on the coat rack with coats, right? One is called Church is Family, and one is called Family is Church, and we'll get there in a minute. But we are going to talk about what family ministry is. What are we trying to do as a church when we say our church is interested in being a family ministry church? What are we talking about? Well, I want to try to define that, talk about that for a little bit, and then give us an opportunity to reflect as we go home today. So Mark chapter 12, and we will be in the section that's probably subtitled in your Bible, The Greatest Commandment. But before we do, we have most of our youth, we have a few youth over here as well, that just got done with Disciple Now weekend. And I want us to take just a brief moment and pray for them. The whole weekend of theirs was about the subject of spiritual warfare and the idea that there is an enemy that does not want our young people to follow Jesus. And so I want us as a church, right now, for about 30 seconds, to just close our eyes, be completely quiet, and I want you to pray over our students. I want you to pray a hedge of protection that God would protect them from the enemy, the accuser that would love for nothing more than them to not follow Jesus with their whole life. And then I'm going to close us in prayer. And I want all of our students to know that their church family is praying for them this morning as they end this weekend. So would you pray with me? And then we'll begin to talk together out of the scriptures. Our Father, we are so grateful that you love our students even more than we do, and that your protection is far more than our protection could be. Lord, I pray that you would protect them from the schemes of the evil one. Lord, that you would be their shield and their protector. That you would fight on their behalf. That you would protect their eyes. That you would protect their hearts. That you would protect their lives. That you would protect their habits. And Lord, I pray that they would yield to your Spirit. Lord, I pray for our students that are already followers of Jesus, that they would follow hard after you. Lord, I pray that they would be motivated to follow after you because they know how much that you love them. Lord, I pray that it would be your love and your grace in their life that would produce a joy and a desire to follow you. Lord, I pray when they get discouraged or overwhelmed, God, that you would be the source of their joy and their satisfaction. Lord, we confess that there is a spiritual battle, and we pray that you would fight on behalf of our students. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So lest you think that family ministry is just something that's a fad or something that churches talk about a lot now, I want to read to you several verses of Scripture before we get to our main text this morning in Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 31. So let me read to you just a few passages of Scripture from the New Testament and the Old Testament where you can kind of see a little bit about what the Bible has to say about family ministry. So the first one is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, when it says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Then again, in 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 5, it says this, "I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith," listen to this, "which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you." You may not know this, but the entire book of Proverbs is really a letter or multiple letters or sayings of wisdom from a father to a son. Let me share with you just a couple of passages from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, 8 through 9 says this, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." And then over in chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "Listen, my son, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding." And then, of course, if you've been around church for very long at all, you've heard this before. Proverbs 22, verse 6. "Start your children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." We could go on and on and on. There's tons of scriptures that talk about the role that the family, and then particularly as you get into the New Testament, the church family has in raising young people to follow Jesus. And really, that's what family ministry is. We have a couple of our students. I don't know where they are. Where's Khaki and Cheyenne? I know they were here. There are some, come on in, ladies. There you go. There are some brochures, and I'm going to have them bring one around to you, one per family, and just give these to you. I'm going to walk through a bunch of the material in this so you can see it. And these will be available from here on out. They've been kind of covertly available. But I want you to understand what we are trying to do as a church with regards to family ministry. So, first, let me answer the question, why? Why are we making such a big deal of family ministry? What's the goal of this thing? What's the goal of us having a family ministry? Well, the goal is very simple, really. The goal is this, so that every child will love God, love their neighbors, and follow Jesus. All right? So that every child will love God, love their neighbors, and follow Jesus. Can you say that with me? So that every child will love God, love their neighbors, and follow Jesus. This is what we want, right? We want every one of our children, now and all the way through their lives, to love God, love their neighbors, follow Jesus. Right? Why do we want that so bad? Why is that our heart's desire as a church? Well, let's read Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 31. Jesus, in picking up on the text that you heard me read to the kids over here around the dinner table, basically says what Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 12 says. One of the teachers of the law, verse 28, came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." It's interesting, if you go back to the Old Testament passage that Jesus is quoting here, there's a phrase in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that's interesting, that he doesn't say, but he's picking up on in the way that he answers this man who asked them this question, what is the greatest commandment? Deuteronomy 6 verse 1 starts this way, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you were crossing." These are the commands. For so long, I thought that what that passage was referring to is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but it's really not. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, there is a recounting of the Ten Commandments. And basically what Deuteronomy chapter 6 is saying is these commands, the whole law, as summed up in the Ten Commandments, can be summed up in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Right? So Deuteronomy chapter 6 puts the whole law into a summary, and then Jesus picks up on it in Mark chapter 12 and basically says, the whole law can be summed up like this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now I would challenge you sometime, go back and read the Ten Commandments, and you'll see that Jesus was exactly right. Every one of the commands can be summed up under one of those two headings, love God and love your neighbor. Look back through the Ten Commandments and you'll see. Love God and love your neighbor. So what is it that we want for our young people as they grow up? Well, we want them to not just know how, but to have practiced, to have models of what it looks like, of what it sounds like, of what it lives like to love God, to love your neighbor. And then, of course, Jesus' command and his call to all people, including children, is to come and follow me. And we want that for every one of our children. So that's the goal, right? So let me say it to you this way. If our kids, I'll just put it in personal terms, if my kids, if they grow up and they're good kids, but they don't love God, they don't love their neighbors, and they don't follow Jesus, I'll be proud that they're good kids, but I'll be disappointed that they're not doing what God has created them for. I want to encourage us and really challenge us as a church to not settle for good. We don't want good. We do want good. We want good kids, right? We want kids that aren't in prison. I remember my mom has said tons and tons of times, growing up, I thought that Brad would either be a preacher or in prison. Well, of course we don't want our kids in prison, and we don't want them addicted to drugs, and we don't want them having babies out of wedlock, and there's all kinds of things. But if they stay out of all those really bad things, and they get good grades, and maybe they go to college and get a college degree, and they marry someone that's nice, but they don't love God, and they don't love their neighbor sacrificially, and they don't follow Jesus, let me ask you, will you be satisfied? My prayer for us as a church and you as parents, you that are parents, that you would not be satisfied with just good kids. Our goal as a family ministry, and I hope our goal as a church, is that our kids would love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, love their neighbor as themselves, and follow Jesus with every part of their life. So why do we do family ministry? So that will happen. That's what we're aiming for. That's what we're striving for. That's what we're asking and calling you to be a part of. Okay? So, you probably saw that on the slide. All right, great. It's up there. So, what is it? This is where I love simplicity, right? I'm not a very complex guy, right? So, I'm going to hang family ministry on two hooks this morning, all right? One is the idea of the church as a family, and one is the idea of a family as a little church, all right? So, let's take the first one first. What is family ministry? Well, family ministry, generally speaking, is first the idea of the church as a family. All right, I challenge you. This year we are doing F260. We are reading through the New Testament, right? Twice. Reading through the New Testament. As you read through the New Testament, here's my encouragement to you. Look at how the church is referred to and how believers in the church are referred to. More than any other metaphor in the whole New Testament, the New Testament portrays the church as family. Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters. Isn't that interesting that the New Testament makes such a big deal of this family language? And not just any family language, the brother-sister family language, which in the first century world was the strongest possible relationship that you could have. It was stronger than a husband and wife. It was stronger than a parent and a child. It was stronger than there really wasn't a boyfriend-girlfriend situation back then. But you understand what I'm saying. The brother-sister relationship was the strongest relationship known to the first century Roman world and Jewish world. And the New Testament basically says the church is intended to have those types of relationships, these brother and sister types of relationships. You see it all over the New Testament. So when we say the church as a family, what we're talking about is a church that has those types of relationships with one another. So as a family ministry, and we're asking you all to join us in this, we are going to be equipping and encouraging the whole church as best we know how to function as a healthy spiritual family. Loving one another, that's what we do towards one another inside the church, and making disciples of all nations. That is our posture towards outsiders, towards those that are not a part of our church. We want to be equipping and encouraging you to function as a healthy spiritual family. Let me just let you in on a little secret. That takes work. Relationships are messy, right? Raise your hand if you think relationships are messy. Right. Yes. There was a book not too long ago that came out. It was titled this way, Relationships, The Mess Worth Making. It's a great title. Relationships are messy, but they are a mess worth making. And so what I want to encourage us as a church to do is make relationships, to be friends with one another, to encourage one another. There are over 30 distinct one another statements in the New Testament. Love one another, correct one another, teach one another, care for one another, bear one another's burdens, and on and on and on it goes. What is the idea? That as brothers and sisters in Christ, the strongest bond known to that world, we would love one another. That is the first thing that a family ministry does, is it encourages a healthy spiritual family. So, okay, so there's the first hook, right? To hang what we're trying to do as a church, as a family ministry church. We want to hang it on this hook called church as family. The second is family as church, right? I told you, I'm pretty simple, not that complex. Family as church. I want to read to you something out of this brochure because it struck me for years and years. This is a quote from Jonathan Edwards. He said this, "Every Christian family ought to be, as it were, a little church. So we hope to equip and encourage every family here at Green Pines to be a functioning and healthy little church. A little church in which talk of God's word is regular. A little church in which singing our faith is joyful and common." I'm talking to you dads, the ones that never like to sing out loud. You're going to have to get over that. Sing with your kids. It's okay. They don't care that you have a bad voice. A little church in which serving our neighbors is fun and usual. Little churches in which each family functions as a little missionary team to their extended family and neighbors and friends. This is what we want. This is what we're aiming for. And so how are we as a church, how are we as a family ministry going to try to help? Well, we're going to try to equip and encourage each family to function like these healthy little churches. We've actually brought several resources. I put them out on the table in our foyer. You can look through them. My name's in any one of them. So if you want to take it, if it strikes your fancy and you want to look through it, then you take it, you borrow it, you look through it. If you like it, you can buy it, or you can keep it as long as you want and then just return it to me when you're done. But there's several resources out there. I would encourage you to take one. I would encourage you to build these types of habits, particularly this idea of a family as a little church. So what does a family as a little church look like? It's not all that mysterious. You saw one piece of it this morning. It's a family that basically gathers either around a table or somewhere in their home on a regular basis, either daily or weekly, or on some type of intentionally regular basis. Reads the Word of God together. Maybe asks a simple question or two. Prays. And sings a song. That's a basic family worship. It's a family that looks and listens for the opportunities to serve their neighbors and their family and their friends, and then does it together as a family. We as a church, we take meals to people all the time that are sick, that are hurting, that are shut in. I wonder what would happen is if all of our families started looking for opportunities to do that as a family. So instead of just cooking a meal for four, now we're cooking a meal for eight, and we're taking it to another family of four that's having a tough week or a busy week, or maybe a family that's shut in. Wouldn't that be a blessing to serve together as a family? It may be, if you have older kids, taking all of your family together and going on a mission trip. There's lots and lots of ways. But the idea is it's a family that worships together, and it's a family that serves together. This is what we want to encourage, and we hope to put resources in your hands. And continue to say it like a broken record. You can do this. God has given everything you need to be able to be a part of this. It won't look perfect. Sometimes the kids will be rolling around like the guy on the video said. That's okay. You know what they'll remember long after they forget the particular passage that you read to them on a particular night? The fact that mom and dad opened the Bible every night. They probably won't remember how awesome of a teacher you were on any given night. But they will remember that night after night, or morning after morning, or lunch after lunch, or Saturday after Saturday, you opened the Bible, you read, you sang, and you prayed. You know what they'll learn? Huh. I bet you those things are important to mom and dad. Maybe they should be important to me too. And it'll lay a groundwork for them to follow Jesus. We want to encourage you to do this, and we hope to put resources in your hands. So, one last thing. How do I participate? I know why we're doing this, so that every kid will love God, love their neighbor, follow Jesus. I know what it is, basically, right? We want to have the church as a healthy spiritual family. We want to have the family as healthy little churches functioning out there like little missionary teams and worshiping teams. But how do we do this? I am a big believer, and the Bible is a big believer in habits. Good habits we call habits. Bad habits we call addictions. We want to develop habits that train our hearts and train our minds and train our lives to love Jesus and to love our neighbors. But habits are what make following Jesus second nature. Sometimes we think about habits like, oh, it's not fresh, or oh, it's not spontaneous, it must not be spiritual. No, no, habits are very spiritual. How would you feel about the guy that gets on the road for whom it's not second nature to drive a car? Who's still trying to think about every little detail you have to do to drive a car? Do you want to be driving on the freeway with that guy? Not me either. Nor should we aspire to always have to have this fresh and spontaneous and thought up in the moment type of experience with the Lord. It's the habits that train our hearts and our affections over time. So, let me give to you three church as family habits and three family as church habits that I would encourage you, challenge you, and ask you to participate in. First, these are healthy church as family habits. The first and most obvious is this: presence. Be present. It's very difficult to be a healthy part of our church family if you're not here. If you don't make it a priority to be here. Right? Our culture is a "I'll be there if I can" culture. The church family should be a "I'll be there unless I can't" culture. And there is a big difference. I'll be there if I can, if there's not anything better going on, right? The church family, in order to be a spiritual family, one of the cultures that has to develop is this "I'll be there unless I can't." Why? Is it because we want to look full? No. It'd be wonderful to be full. But you know what the real magic of being here is that you build relationships. Is that you build a relationship with the Lord together as a family, and that you build a relationships with one another as a church family. So be present. Second, participate. I promise you, if you are a follower of Jesus, God has given you some gifts. God has given you some experiences. God has given you some passions. Use them to build up our body. If you don't know how to use them, then ask myself or ask Pastor Jared or ask one of our elders. How is it that God could use this piece of me? And you want me to tell you a little secret? All of us on staff and our elders, we're already looking at you anyways and saying, how has God wired you? And how could God use you? And so don't be surprised if we come around and we say, you know what, I've noticed this about you. Josiah Goodson, who's not able to be here this morning, he's sick, but last night he cooked a meal for our whole DNOW crew. 20 of us came over to his house, invaded his house. His wife wasn't even in town. So he alone prepared dinner for the 20 of us. That's a stud right there. And he cooked it great. It was a wonderful meal. You know how that came about? He had the misfortune of mentioning to me weeks and weeks ago at a table, actually on my couch, that he liked to cook. And I just filed that away. I just left it alone that night. And I just thought, I'm going to be coming back to that. You know who else should be doing that? You should be doing that. You should be doing that with other people in our church. You should be filing away the things that they say. Oh, you know what? I really love this. I'm really passionate about that.
I came over and I had tons and tons of tea, Kenyan tea, at Mr. Horace and Miss Rosemary Parkinson's house some weeks ago now. Some of the best tea of my life. And Horace made the mistake of mentioning to me that he's a very handy man. And I thought to myself, well, glory to God, because I'm not. And so anytime that I come across something where handiness is needed, guess who I'm calling? Horace. Why? Because it's God's will that he uses what God has given him to build up the body. And you should expect that of me as well, and you should expect that of one another, that the gifts and the talents and the experiences and the passions, what we would call the wiring that God has given to us, ought to be used for the building up of the body, so we should participate with one another. Third, we should pray. Maybe you say, you know what, I can't participate the way that I used to. I can't participate in some of the ways that I'd love to participate, maybe because of my age or my ability or my schedule. But you know what you can do? You can pray. And as a church family, we should be committing to be praying for one another. We should be listening for the prayer requests that are never stated as prayer requests, but we know they're a prayer request because we hear the hurt in somebody else's heart. Or we hear the joy in somebody else's talk, and we want to celebrate with them. We should be listening and looking for the opportunities to pray for our church family. So these are healthy church's family habits. Being present, participating with one another, and calling others to participate in prayer. So what are some healthy family as church habits? First, you saw it up here. Have a basic family worship time. Well, you say, I don't have any kids in the home anymore. That's okay. Do it with your spouse. Well, I'm a single person. Well, do it with your roommates or do it with another family in our church. But there should be nobody that's not having a time in a home on a regular basis worshiping Jesus as kind of a satellite branch of Green Pines Baptist Church throughout the week. Have a family worship time. It doesn't have to be fancy. It could just be basic. But you know what God does? He works through those basic habits. He works through the night in and night out, dinner time after dinner time, paragraph of scripture after paragraph of scripture, rolling on the floor after rolling on the floor. He works through that. He does amazing things through those things. Think back, those of you that are adults, think back about when you were kids. It's probably not the spectacular moments that really stand out and that have shaped your life today. It's probably those just basic habits that your family did without even really talking about them that much that have kind of shaped who you are today. For good or for bad. So family worship time. Secondly, family service projects. The family service project could just be that we all wash dishes together after dinner instead of going all of our separate ways. It may be that we take a meal over to someone that's hurting or sick or having a tough week or a busy week. It may be that we throw a birthday party for a gal from South Africa who's staying here for a while and misses the fact that she won't have a 21st birthday party, but for a family in our church that heard that and is throwing her a birthday party. That's what we should be looking for, those opportunities. We can all be a part of those. We can all attune our ears and our eyes to those types of opportunities that God would give us, right? And third, spiritual celebrations. All right, this may be new to you. It's new to me. Let me share with you what this is. We celebrate all kinds of foolish things in our culture, right? The University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, when they win some big game, Franklin Street looks like Woodstock. It's crazy. We celebrate all kinds of crazy things. We celebrate sporting events. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate all kinds of things. What if we as a church started thinking together And our family ministry started giving you all ideas about ways that we can celebrate what God is doing and what God has done in our children's lives. Let me give you an example. What if after a child is baptized, we had a baptism party for that kid to say, you know what, this is worth celebrating. This is a big deal that you're professing publicly that you love Jesus in front of our church congregation. This is way bigger deal than UNC winning a basketball game. What if we thought of other spiritual celebrations? What if we knew the day that our child had prayed to receive Christ and every year we celebrated their spiritual birthday? What if we decided at a certain age we were going to take our child on a little overnight trip? We were going to have some very spiritual conversations and kind of cut them away from the herd and treat them like someone that's going from a child to an adult and have some of those spiritual kind of milestone conversations with them. And they had a little getaway with mom or dad or the both of us. These are things worth celebrating. And I want us as a church to think through and share practices. Here's what we've done. This last week, Meredith Morgan shared with us a way that their family is beginning to do this. And it was encouraging to all of us that this is happening. And I want us to celebrate what we cherish. And we cherish the fact that God is at work in our young people. And so let's celebrate it. Let's act like it. Let's throw some parties around it. So this is what we do. Why do we do it? So that all of our kids would love God, love their neighbor, and follow Jesus. What is it? It's the church functioning as a spiritual family, and it's every single one of our families, whether you have kids in the home or not, functioning as a healthy little church out in our community all week long. How do we do this? How do we build these kind of muscles, these habits? Simple customs. Simple, repeatable things that we do over and over again. Commitments that we make that aren't fancy, that aren't complex, but over time they do their work on our hearts and they do their work on each other. And here's my promise. Not because I can say this, but because God's word says this. If we as a church will do these things, we'll make these commitments, God will do something in our young people. We'll see a generation, a crop of young people that love Jesus. Maybe not everyone. We pray everyone. But God will work through these simple things. So, my question for you is this. Will you help us? Will you be a part of this? Will you pray? Will you encourage others? Will you invite others along to be a part? Knowing that God is at work and will continue to work in and through our families. Why don't we pray? And then we'll sing together. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you have demonstrated your love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, thank you that you have already begun the process in so many of us of rescuing us and preparing us for the new heavens and the new earth, the restored world to come. Lord, just as this world groans and longs to be rescued and renewed, we too long for that world. But Lord, I pray that in the meantime, we would be intentional, both as a church family and as individual families, in raising up young people that love you, that love the people around them, and that follow Jesus with all of their lives. Would you help us? Would you encourage us when the devil would like to get a foothold of discouragement? Would you remind us that it's your grace and your goodness and your hand that does the work? Thank you so much for our church family. I pray that you would bless us in ways that go beyond even our comprehension, And I pray that for our individual families as well. We ask these things in Jesus' name.